Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY 2022 earnings conference call of BCL Industries Limited, hosted by Quantum Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prashant Sharma from Quantum Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rutuja. On behalf of Quantum Securities, we welcome you all to quarter 14 FY 2022 results con call of BCL Industries Limited. We thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. The management is represented by Mr. Kushal Mittal, Joint MD. I now hand over the call to Mr. Kushal Mittal. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Prashant. Good morning, everyone, and thank you everyone for joining the earnings call for the fourth quarter and financial year ending 2021-22. I hope you and your family are all safe and healthy. Let me first talk about the key financial highlights for the fourth quarter. The total income for the quarter was at 510 crores, which increased by 18% year-on-year. EBITDA for the quarter was at 41 crores, which increased by about 53% year-on-year, with EBITDA margins of 8.12%. Net profit was at 23 crores, an increase of 72% year-on-year, and PAT margins for the company were reported at 4.49%. The financial year ended 2022, the total income stood at rupees 2,001 crores, which increased by 37% year-on-year. EBITDA stood at approximately 146 crores, an increase of 51% year-on-year, and margins were reported at 7.28%. Net profit was about 85 crores, an increase of 101% year-on-year, while PAT margins were at 4.23%. As you can notice from the financial performance, it was a very good year indeed for the company. The company has achieved its highest ever financial performance and growth across parameters like sales, volumes, and profitability in the year. Now let's talk about the segment-wise update of the company. Starting with the distillery segment, the revenues from the distillery segment for quarter four FY 2022 stood at rupees 126 crores, which was a growth of approximately 18% year-on-year. While for the financial year 2022, the revenues were at 516 crores, representing a growth of about 10% year-on-year. The work at our new state-of-the-art Swachha distillery is now complete, and the company has applied for all the required permissions for the commencement of production, some of which have been granted and some of which are under process. The company has received major permission in the consent to operate, which was granted by the West Bengal Pollution Board, and now the company is hoping to receive all of the required permissions very soon. Meanwhile, the work for the expansion of 200 KLPD ethanol plant in Bathinda is under full swing. All of our major orders and advances were issued prior to the steep escalation in the raw material prices, which has allowed the company to not exceed its initial project cost that it had decided on. The company has already availed over 40 crores in loans from Canara Bank against this project, and the total loan of 120 crores will be applicable under the interest subvention scheme. Now, we're all hearing about the rising fuel prices across all industries. To hedge against these rising fuel prices, the company is setting up a boiler that will be fired on paddy straw. This will assist the company in diversifying its fuel needs, as paddy straw is one of the most difficult biomasses to utilize, so there are very few buyers in the market for this fuel. This boiler, although has a very high CapEx of around 40 crores, will qualify for the state government scheme in which SGST of the CapEx in the boiler will be refunded from the state government. With regard to the edible oil segment, the revenues for quarter four were approximately at 408 crores, which is a growth of around 27% year-on-year, while for the financial year ended 2022, the revenues were at 1,516 crores, representing a growth of about 55% year-on-year. The company has been focusing on procurement of mustard seeds for the production of mustard oil due to a good mustard crop, which has increased the overall production utilization of our unit, as our unit is fully vertically integrated. So when we go into the market to buy seeds, that is very beneficial for our company. In the recent quarter, we saw a slight dip in the demand because of the high volatility in edible price, oil prices globally, and the change in duty reductions and stock reductions in the market, which has created a bit of an uncertain environment. But we expect all of this to settle in the coming quarters. Lastly, in the real estate segment, the company recorded a revenue of around 1.75 crores for the quarter. In an attempt to reduce the financial burden of the company and fund our capex, the revenues utilized from the real estate segment will be continued to reduce our debt and also fund our capex. In conclusion, with the commencement of Swachha Distillery this year, we expect a significant growth in our revenues from this division in financial year 23, which will be followed by the expansion in Bathinda, which we're hoping and aiming to complete in quarter four of financial year 22-23. So that will add a little to our revenues as well. Thank you. I would now like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Gaurav Sutdeva from Further Investments. Please go ahead.
Morning, sir. First of all, congratulations for great set of numbers for the financial 22. I want to know, sir, your other expenses for the quarter has drastically increased from 40 crores to 62 crores. What are the contributors for that?
Yes, good morning. Yes, so the other expenses have significantly increased. And the main reason for this is, you know, if you look deeply at, there's a 79% increase in our finished goods stock, which has increased from about 54 crores to 97 crores. And as I mentioned in my speech, this is, you know, the main reason for this is that there's a lot of uncertainty in the market with the import duty reductions, and there might be some, stock. There might be some stock legalities in place. So in times like this, the small distributor does not want to have too much inventory in hand, and they, you know, they like to keep smaller inventory. So this is why our finished good inventory has increased significantly in the quarter. So that has led to an increase in other expenses also. But this is normal. We expect things to settle in the coming quarters, and this is in line with the industry trend.
Okay. And so what is the major contributors in the raw material prices, which has also increased from 82% to 87% in terms of percentage on revenue?
Yes, see, that is everything. We're seeing prices of everything increase. So raw material, you know, all the imported oils, we've seen an increase in price in them. We have mustard crop, which was a bumper crop this year. I mean, it fetched rates for mustard seeds in the markets that has never seen before. There has been an increase in fuel prices. There has been an increase in grain prices as well. But we're hedging that by doing our own milling for our distillery. So there has been an increase all over.
But do you think these will settle in the coming quarters, sir?
Yes. I expect this to settle. I expect the volatility to decrease. But to be frank, we don't see the prices decreasing steeply in the next two quarters. We were expecting a decrease in the prices of edible oils. Even despite the import duty reduction, there has been there's a shortage of supply globally, which is not allowing the prices to fall too steeply. So we expect the volatility to decrease, but we don't expect the prices to decrease too much.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from our side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin from Incent Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, firstly, you mentioned you're hedging the on the raw material side, you're hedging your costs by doing your own price milling. Could you shed some light on that? Because when I go through your numbers, it seems that this quarter you have differentiated yourself from your peers because the state you operate in has seen a sharp increase in the ENA prices. And you shifted a lot of your production to ENA. And you were able to basically garner a good amount of profitability based on that. So is that the case or is it both? Is it a clear mix of both?
Yes, as you correctly mentioned, if you look at our investor presentation, there has been a slight shift. Earlier in the quarter, we had diverted 60% of our production towards ethanol. But this quarter, there's a very good demand for ENA in the market. The ENA prices have increased. So accordingly, our ENA sales increased in the quarter. And also, what differentiates us is we have been in the grain business for the past 3 decades. We understand grains better than our competitors, we feel. So we could see that there would be an increase in the grain prices this year. Mainly, there were a few reasons. One, there was an increase in export, and also the crop of paddy last year was very good. So there was very little broken being made in the rice mills, and we could see that before others, I feel. So what we did was we participated in tenders. We bought a lot of paddy where we could find, which was old lying stock. So, that paddy is not picked up by a conventional rice miller who wants a longer grain, who wants less broken. But we don't really care because we wanted raw material for our own distillery. So, in participating in these tenders and diverting our rice mill to, for distillery has helped us a lot. And another thing that we're doing which will differentiate us from our competitors will also be we're setting up a rice straw based boiler. See, this is a new technology and rice straw is the hardest fuel to burn in the world. But there's also a lot of rice straw available in the market at much cheaper rates than as rice straw husk or coal. So this will also help us, hedge against the rising fuel costs in the market. So we're trying from all ends, from our procurement side and from selling side, to fight these inflation pressure that everyone is facing.
So what was the average price of rice that you procured, if you adjusted for your own milling, what would that come to, roughly 18, 19 bucks?
See, that depends on what rice bran rate I'm setting. See, rice, when I'm doing my own milling, I have to set up, it's not like how I procure from the market. A paddy crop contains of husk, rice bran and rice. So that all depends on what rate I'm setting for husk and what rate I'm setting for bran, because I'm consuming both of them in my own units. Now, if I were to set it at current rate, I think it would be around 18, but it would be hard for me to, give a correct comment on what it was last quarter sitting today, because there is so much volatility.
Understood, sir. And what is the reason that the state you operate in normally used to be a surplus ENA state? What has happened that has suddenly shifted the dynamics that has made it a deficit ENA state and the prices of ENA to shoot up? And can this last?
Punjab is, there has been a very much increase in the ENA market. In the demand in the ENA market because of higher consumption, and we have a good clientele that has stuck with us because of our quality, because we have consistent production, so they keep buying from us. And another thing that we've heard is some states in the south, a few distilleries had to shut down temporarily because of raw material prices increasing significantly, which has not happened in Punjab, especially where we are sitting. We can it's a rice belt, Malwa, we can procure broken and husk at a good rate. So I think that was another reason. A few distilleries, I believe, had to shut down in Karnataka and Tamil Nadu. So
noted. So this time around, you had a price realization of 55 rupees plus. You think this will go upwards in the next quarter?
Yes.
ENA prices?
Yes.
Wow, that sounds amazing, sir. I'll just join back in the future. I have a few more questions, but I'll join back with you for now.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Maheshwari from Skyridge Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good numbers. A couple of questions. So first, regarding edible oil, Kushal, you said that there was a slight dip in demand for edible oil. You were talking about the March quarter or this Q1 FY23?
See, since the March quarter, we are experiencing a dip in demand, and that is a trend in the market. Then there are a few reasons for it. One is the change in duty reductions which are happening, so that creates a lot of uncertainty. So no small distributor wants to, you know, hold stock in hand. Secondly, in the summer months, it is normal to experience a dip in demand in general because consumption goes down as opposed to monsoons or colder months. And so we are seeing a dip in demand. But a big positive for the company is that, you know, now we're primarily working on mustard. And that is more profitable for our company than, you know, working on these imported oils. Because of the bumper mustard crop, we were able to procure a good amount of mustard. And so that is being processed in our own oil mill, in our own solvent, and in our own refinery. And this is the market trend after, I'd say, about two decades, when indigenous oils are cheaper than imported oils. And that's where our company benefits. So in the coming quarter, yes, our revenue in the sector might go down, but our profitability will sustain our profitability because we're processing indigenous oils, which is our specialty.
You mean the 1,600-1,700 crore revenue that we're doing edible oil, that might come down a little, but we'll be able to maintain our margins?
Yes, we might even improve our margins.
Okay, improvement would be wonderful actually, because if we are losing revenue and margin remains same, it has an impact on absolute profits.
See, this is where we differ from the bigger companies. We are masters in processing indigenous oils. We would be very happy if import was to stop in India, and that's where we'll really compete. So that the scenario is happening slowly and slowly, and we are to benefit.
Okay. And so coming to distillery, so since revenues from edible oil might see a slight dip, it can be hedged by distillery, right, which is witnessing a good demand. And I'm seeing that you are not, you have reduced your ethanol production during the quarter in favor of ENA. And you have explained that, I think, in previous question, but don't ENA ethanol generally have fixed contracts, like OMC issue you a tender and you have to supply them with this many quantities? So, I mean, can you explain how you're able to just divert from ethanol to ENA?
See, there are two things. Overall, the tendered quantity for this financial, this sugar year, which is the ethanol year, we had tendered less quantity when compared to the previous year because we were thinking that there might be an increase in rice prices, and so we wanted to divert towards ENA. And also, there's a clause where a little bit of deviation can be made, very little. So we utilize that for this quarter. We might have to make it up in the next quarter. We're seeing, it all depends on how the OMCs also request us for material. But we both these parts had an impact.
Okay, but long term wise, I think there'll be a stable mix between ethanol and ENA. But it's not like we'll stop focusing on ethanol.
Only towards ENA. In the middle of the contract, that won't be possible. But see, that's also another thing where this new unit that we're setting up in Bathinda will help us. The unit is, going ahead of schedule. So once that unit is set up, we can divert the current 200 KL towards ENA only. And the new unit that has come, the 200 KL, will divert that towards ethanol. And that's our specialty. We have the flexibility to shift between ENA and ethanol. And that's prevalent at both our units, in Bengal and in Bathinda, and that will be to our benefit.
Great, sir. Thank you. I have more questions, but I'll get back in with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishali Jadhav from MIV Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yeah. Sir, the use of 20% ethanol blending in the engines, auto engines, requires the new specifications and need to do some changes related to the fuel lines. So what are your thoughts on it? Do you think that this is a risk for our company?
No, I don't think that's a risk because, to be honest, I'm not an auto engineer, so I don't know what all changes need to be made. From what I know, it's happening in a lot of countries globally, and the Automobile Association has given their consent that they are willing to participate in this scheme in the future. So I don't see that being as a risk, and the government has set their mind to it. I mean, they're not going back on what they set their mind on increasing the blending percentage to 20% and even taking it this further in the future. So I don't see that being a risk.
Okay. And sir, are there any disadvantage of using a biomass as a fuel over coal?
No, there's no disadvantage. It all depends on what the fuel's caloric value and where it's situated. Currently in Bathinda, it is financially viable to use biomass instead of coal. So we have been doing this in the past as well.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. I'm done.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arundhati Sharma from Valentis Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Congratulations for good results. My first question is, what is the difference in cost between the local oil seeds and the imported oil? And second one is, what percentage revenue growth can be expected in the edible oil segment for the next 3 years?
Firstly, it is hard for me to compare edible oil seeds to imported oils, because what we're importing is a crude oil and edible oil seed is in its rawest form. But when talking about the finished product, right now the indigenous oil, mustard oil, is about 7 to 8% cheaper than the soya bean alternative, which is imported. So that is a great thing for us. And so for the revenue growth in the edible oil sector, I think we've reached a good stage in terms of numbers, and this year our aim is to try and repeat this number again. But in the next 3 years, as more and more indigenous oil seed production increases in the country, we're aiming to reach about 1800 crores from this sector in terms of revenue from our current unit. So that's our goal.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. This thing, you mentioned you're setting up a new power source, which is using the paddy straw. Now, where is this going to be set up? In the Bengal unit or the Bathinda unit?
No, this will be in the Bathinda unit. This is for the 200 KL expansion that's happening.
Okay. And how is the sourcing of this material? Because I believe there is no route and no sourcing as of now, because this will be something with the farmers will be burning in the fields.
No, so we've already signed a contract with professionals who will help us with the sourcing. So with the sourcing of this it was being burnt in the fields because the good price for it, and now since the power plants are being set up that will use this as a fuel, there are people who have provided farmers with tons of balers who will help bale this, and we've signed a long-term contract with one such professional company who will help procure us fuel for the entire year and will help us store it and will also help us feed it into our boilers. So to understand fuel management, for the entire year, the procurement has to be done within 45 days, which is the harvest period. So that's about 1,50,000 tons of fuel, and we have to store it, for which we've already purchased 35 acres of land right next to our distillery to help store it. And so fuel management is a big part, but we have a contract in place with experienced people in this field, and they'll help us in the first year. And from there on, we'll learn, and then we'll might set up our own management team.
So if you do the old school math on ethanol, you know, the power cost used to be around 10, but the coal prices used to be thinner. And now, of course, it has gone the curve. But would that be the power cost which you still incur through this source, or would it be lower?
I think it would be a little lower, not too drastically lower, but lower than what it used to be before. Because although a paddy straw is cheaper and there's less caloric value in it, and since this is a brand new technology and we are one of the first going into this, so I expect that there will be some learning cost in the first year as well, which is completely normal.
Noted. So what are the permissions which are pending? Because I think you are behind schedule on your West Bengal plants, because you had ambitions of running it in the first quarter of this financial year of 2023, but you are behind schedule. So which permissions are lacking, and by when do you think they'll come through?
Yes. So there are about seven big permissions, and we are a little behind schedule. I do acknowledge that, but we're working to bring the plant into commissioning as soon as possible. So we have received permissions from the pollution board, which is a big one, from the electrical board for the operation of a turbine. The big permissions that are still pending are fire and excise. Both these files are moving very well. I think we should receive them in the next 15 days or so.
Oh, wow. So Q2, we can expect the whole quarter to be operational.
Yes, we're hoping for that.
Okay. And last question from my side, the timeline for the expansion of the Bhatinda unit, you mentioned that you wish to commission it in Q4. So at least in the first quarter of FY 2024, I think we should be completely running it. But also, overall, the expansion plan of the West Bengal unit.
See, for the West Bengal unit, the 100 KL expansion will start work once the 200 plant is commissioned and is running successfully, and then we'll start work. So I don't have a date for that as of now.
Okay, fair enough, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Balamurli Krishna, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I want to know about this deadline for that, but not happened.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Murli. May I request you to please speak louder? We cannot hear you, sir. Mr. Balamurli, may I request you to speak a little louder and repeat your question, sir? As there is no response from the participant, we'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Abhishek Maheshwari from Sky Ridge Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity once again. So this, I have a couple of more questions. I'm sorry, I missed it. What did you say when you're commissioning your Bhatinda 200 KLPD? Is it second half of this year, September, October?
We're aiming for quarter four. So our aim is to, commission it by November of this year.
And Swakta 200 KLPD is coming up by end of this Q1, right?
Yes.
And the raw material and the supply chain for these new capacities, we are already speaking to the suppliers for the grain.
Yes, for grain, okay. Our suppliers, we have a very good network. Who have showed us that there will be no problems. In Kharagpur, we've already received a good amount of raw material because we're beginning production soon. And in Bhatinda also, they've said there will be no issues at all, and Bhatinda is a good belt for it. And for fuel, we've already signed a long-term contract with a good company who will help us procure rice straw for the entire year.
Great, great. And on the demand side, is there enough demand for us to be able to sell our products, to reach optimum utilizations in a couple of months?
Yes. Demand will not be an issue. The ethanol, the as you know, 20% blending ethanol, most of it the government wants from grains now. So that, in that end, current supply is around 50-60 crores. The government wants it increased multifold, so that's not an issue. EN demand is very, very good in the market in both Punjab and Bengal as we speak. So that's not an issue. DDGS, which is a good byproduct, so that depends on the poultry industry. So that usually sees its up and down. Right now we're seeing lower demand, but that changes. So that also won't be an issue, we think.
Okay, thank you. Sir, lastly, any revenue and PAT margin growth guidance for FY23? Because PAT you should do better since distilleries are coming. So margin maybe 5.5-6% can we do reasonably?
Yeah, see, you know, as more as distillery revenue share increases, and so will the overall margins. I don't expect the distillery margins to increase much further currently. As we, you know, a year ago, maybe Bengal had better margin conditions compared to Punjab, but now it's the other way around. And this keeps shifting in the market. You know, 2 years down the line, maybe Bengal will be more profitable when compared to Punjab. But Bengal is still a deficit state. But overall, I don't see the distillery margins going up any further.
Okay. But any consolidated, you know, revenue growth or PAT margin you are targeting for FY23?
No, I think we're still targeting a growth for the coming year. We'll try to, sustain the edible oil revenue numbers, but we see profitability increasing there slightly. So our target is for 2,500 crores of revenue for this financial year.
Okay, great. And at least we'll be able to maintain 4.5% margins, if not more.
Yes.
But it should not go down. Okay.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Dipesh Sacheti from Manya Finances. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. First of all, congratulations on having such a good result, and thank you again from the entire shareholder community for the dividend and being gracious enough not accepting the dividend. Now, my one question was about the West Bengal plant again. We've been having certain delays. I want to understand what is the financial implication of this delay. Are we losing any money apart from the opportunity cost?
Of course, you know, there's interest involved, and opportunity cost is a big thing. Those are two big costs with the production being delayed.
No, apart from that, is it that we bought any grains and those grains will have a shelf life? And they might become
We have grains that we have bought, but the grains are usually on credit anyways. It's a 60-day credit that we work on, and it's not they're well placed in covered silos, so they won't deteriorate while in the silos. So that's not a problem. But yes, we have bought about a good amount of grains to help us in the start.
So when do we understand that, you know, like we've been given a lot of dates, a lot of months. When do you think that it will start? On a reasonable expectation.
Yes, by the end of this quarter, we're hoping.
By the end of this quarter. Okay.
Yeah.
And is there any changes in the ENA or ethanol prices?
ENA prices have appreciated significantly in the last quarter and moving on because of the increase in raw material prices. The ethanol prices are the same.
Okay. Now, ENA prices, what are the ENA prices right now?
Right now in Punjab.
West Bengal? In West Bengal and Punjab?
In Punjab, as we speak, it's around 58 to 59 rupees. And in Bengal, it's around 54 to 55 rupees.
The reason I'm asking this is because I was there on a con call with EID Parry, and they mentioned that the ENA prices have dropped from 61 to 54. Is that true? In Tamil Nadu, of course, but have you seen a similar trend in West Bengal or Punjab?
No, we haven't. I don't know for Tamil Nadu, to be honest.
Okay. And going ahead, I mean, how do we see our finance costs reducing with internal accruals, or are we going to do another preferential issue?
No, by internal accruals, the company is earning good cash flow. The capex in Bathinda is under the interest subvention scheme, so the applicable interest rate will be 4% on that loan, and you know, we're utilizing working capital very well, so all this is contributing.
Okay, so what is right now the cost of capital for us, average?
It's around 7.3%.
7.3%, and what is the gross debt?
Gross debt for the total loan?
Total loan book? Yeah, the total loan. How much is the total loan on the company?
Around 200 crores.
200 crores. And out of that, how much is working capital?
Working capital is 120.
This is inclusive of the two. This is including in the 200 crores, or is it apart from? I mean, 200 crores is term loan or?
Includes.
So 80 crores is about term loan. Perfect. If there's any other question, I'll be in the line. Thank you so much, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants: anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Jainam Gelani from MoneyBee. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on good numbers. Can you please talk about the total revenue from DDGS and its volume? And my second question will be, has the realization increased compared to the last year?
Thank you. So for the first question, if I heard you correctly, you were asking about DDGS volumes and their revenue?
Yes.
So, yes. So DDGS, currently we're seeing, a decrease. So about 100 metric tons of good quality DDGS is produced on an average by our unit. And currently the prices are around 23 to 24 rupees per kg for it. They had gone up to 39. So we see this increase and decrease, and we expect the prices to go up again in the coming months, as you know, demand for eggs and chicken increases once the temperatures decrease, especially in North India and in the monsoons. So that's about DDGS. And the second question was? Hello.
My second question was, has the realization increased compared to the last year?
Realizations. We hope to increase our margins slightly in the edible oil sector, as I had mentioned. Revenues in the edible oil sector we're aiming to sustain the numbers that we showed this year, and with Swaksha coming in. We expect the distillery sector to give us better revenues as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bala Murli Krishna, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Bala Murli, please go ahead with your question. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Congratulations on good set of numbers.
Yeah, earlier in our control, management told that by the end of this fiscal, we would be able to achieve standard air purity capacity. So, what is the time of as of now?
Sorry, your voice is echoing.
In earlier con call, management told that we can achieve 700 KLPD capacity by the end of this fiscal year, FY23. So now we have seen that West Bengal unit is a little bit delayed, and so what would be the expected capacity by the end of the fiscal?
See, West Bengal, we are aiming to start by the end of this quarter, and for Bathinda 200 KL expansion, we're aiming for quarter four of this year, and the Bathinda progress is going very, very well as we speak. I think we'll be able to achieve that target. So by the end of this financial year, we expect to have 400 KL in Bathinda and 200 in Bengal, a total of 600 KL.
Okay, then West Bengal, one more 100 KLPD capacity, that will be in the next fiscal first quarter?
I'm not at the liberty to give you a date for that as of now, because we'll be starting works at site once the 200 KL is commissioned and is working well for the 100 KL. So post that, we'll start our expansion.
Yeah, okay, thanks. And one more thing, as the oil prices are speaking, edible oil, so we'll see any big dip in the revenues, or we can say that the EPS will be the same like this quarter, upcoming quarter.
We might see some dip in revenues, as I had mentioned, in the edible oil sector, but we'll this thing is, we expect the demand to go up in the coming quarters also. With the indigenous oils being available, we expect our margins to, improve.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipesh Sancheti from Manya Finances. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi again, sir. One question was regarding the risk of... since there is a global grain crisis going on, and the government is banning exports, do you see any inherent risk because of this in the procurement of grains?
No, we don't see much risk because, see, what we're buying is damaged grain for most of our goods. And damaged grain is, it's a byproduct of a rice mill. And so we, especially in terms of rice, India has still... very surplus. There was a statement which was made earlier that India might be banning the export of rice, but then the government made it clear that export of rice won't be banned because the stock is still way above the needed stock. And also at the same time, the FCI rice policy, conversion policy, they're still but still working smoothly, so we don't see anything from that end as well.
Yeah, because we even procure from the government quota also, right? The government has some in its own storage and we procure from that. We don't see any risk that that procurement will be affected.
Not at all, not at all. In fact, because of the rising damaged grain prices in the market, what we did was the government actually made it flexible for us to shift our quantity that was diverted towards damaged food grain ethanol. So there are two types of ethanol we supply. One is from damaged food grain and one is from the FCI rice. So they allow us to shift from damaged food grain to the FCI rice. So we in fact increased our quantity towards FCI rice, and there was full support from DFPD, the OMCs. So we don't see that as being a risk.
Okay, you don't see that as...
To understand this, what other people won't tell you, because we understand grains very, very well. See, earlier what happened was India was dependent on Punjab and Haryana primarily for its paddy. And Punjab and Haryana had one crop a year. Now we've seen, especially after this farmers' unrest and after the lockdowns when a lot of the labor went back to their home states, states like Bengal, Jharkhand, Odisha, Bihar, where there is good amount of water, these states can grow three crops of paddy a year. And earlier those farmers were not aware that there is something called MSP. Now all those farmers are educated and you have this farmer unrest to thank for it a lot too. And now they understand what is MSP. And now they're saying, why in states like Punjab and Haryana can the government procure an MSP, and why not our procured on MSP? And earlier it was tough for the government to handle one crop from Haryana and Punjab a year. And these states, with the amount of land they have, if they start going three crops a year, now that's a lot of paddy to handle. So from that end, we don't see in the long run being any supply side pressure in the raw material end.
Well, I meant only in the short term, because this crisis has come only in the short term. Not in the short term. So there is no need to procure the grains and keep it in our stock expecting anything of this situation coming up.
We are not practicing that.
Okay. Now, one more question was about the edible oil. Now, edible oil prices, they have started coming down. Will this affect our profitability?
Profitability, I don't see it affecting us, because now we started processing a lot of mustard. and mustard for our company is more profitable than imported oils. So although yes, prices are decreasing and the increase in volatility, you know, creates uncertainty and there might be an decrease in the revenues, but our profitability we expect to improve because we're processing indigenous oils.
Right, but the amount of stock we have, or if that crisis comes down, will it affect our profitability in that case? I mean, stock in trade or something?
Too significant. We don't sit on too much inventory, to be honest. So it's not too significant.
Okay. And last thing about the real estate. Now this quarter we had some sales. What as we are planning to get out of real estate in future. How much more sales do you expect going ahead till the time we get out of this business? Ballpark figure, not, I mean, exact.
About 20 odd crores, I'd say.
20 odd crores?
Yeah.
So the EBITDA margin would be the same which we had in this quarter, about 60-70%?
Yes.
Okay, that would be great. Fine. Thank you again.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Chaturvedi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. So just wanted to check the Swaksha distillery, which is going to start operating in the second quarter. Will it be profitable after depreciation and interest? Or, that would come in the second year only?
No, I think it should be profitable from the start. Because interest is the loan taken on the distillery is only of 55 crores, so that shouldn't be too significant. So we expect to be profitable.
Okay, and how much would be the indicated turnover for the 3 quarters from the Swaksha distillery?
See, in an average quarter, we expect about 120 crores from that unit.
Okay, so that would be about 350 odd crores from that unit, and the balance 650 crores you're expecting from the existing Bhatinda distillery.
Yes, we're hoping to get 1/4 of the expansion in Bhatinda.
Oh, okay, so that is how we are expecting that turnover also to increase this year.
Yes.
Oh, that's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dinesh Kotwari, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I joined late. I have two questions. One is regarding the boiler. I want to know the timeline to get the boiler started. And the second question is, why the promoter is not taking dividend? That's my two questions.
Yeah, so the boiler, I didn't understand. Are you talking about the power plant expansion in Bhatinda?
The paddy straw.
So that power plant we expect to commission in November of this year. But it's a new technology power plant, and so it's a big project. So we're hoping for November of this year while we start the new distillery expansion in Mahinda commissioning. And as promoters, we are putting there's a lot of capex happening currently, and we want to enrich our investors who've put their faith in us, and we understand that not everyone always puts their faith in a smaller size company like ours, but we want to reward the investors who have put their faith and given us moral support. There's a lot of capex happening, so we deem fit that not to take the dividend this time. But once all this capex is complete, we'll come out with a proper dividend policy, and that's when the promoters too will take the share.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun Murli, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question, this is regarding your Bhatinda expansion. Just wanted to understand, there is a HMEL refinery also nearby which has gone through a massive expansion. So with all this ethanol blending program, do you think that it's a source of advantage for you to have such a massive refinery nearby wherein some of it can be given at short notice, maybe, the ethanol? Sorry, I had asked a question, so I'm not sure you had responded on the main line. So this was around the Bathinda expansion, since you're now doubling your capacity. Also wanted to check with the HMEL refinery nearby, which is again a massive refinery. So do you think it's a source of advantage for you that you have a refinery nearby to supply ethanol to at short notice if required?
Nay, that's not too much of an advantage, to be honest, because we don't supply our ethanol to refineries. We supply it to depots because it's just mixed in their blending tanks. So refinery is not a big purchaser, that's the depots. But yes, because of the refinery in the city of Bathinda, there has been a lot of growth in Bathinda, which has allowed us, to get a lot of talent, which wasn't possible in the last few years. And also there's big depots in Bathinda, because it's at the border of Punjab, Haryana and Rajasthan. So that works to our advantage, but the refinery doesn't, it's not, the refinery in particular is not very advantageous.
Okay, thank you for that. The second question was around augmenting the capacity at Swachha. From what you outlined earlier in the call, I presume that work hasn't really started. So just wanted to check, given the rise in all these commodity prices, and you had also articulated how that had been an advantage for you with respect to the earlier expansion that you've already started. So is there any thought process around waiting for prices to cool down and then commence the expansion at a later date? Or do you feel comfortable right now given a lot of incremental cash flow from the expansions coming in?
Yeah, so the prices, we don't really pay much attention to when deciding our CapEx, especially at Swachha, because to add another 100 KL, there's no power plant expansion that's happening. Our current power plant will suffice our needs. So in that sense, we don't really look at the raw material prices. I think we're comfortable at the current, as there is a declining, but we're not waiting on it to further decline. What we're waiting on is to successfully come into full production and full smooth business. Because we're experiencing that the working conditions there are not as easy as Punjab, where we're situated and where we're very experienced. So if we want to first stabilize in 200 KL and then begin work for the 100 KL.
Okay. And one last question, if I may just push my luck here. Again, I'm not sure whether you will be in a position to answer this, because I think as a public shareholder, one of the things that we did see in the March quarter was one of your large public shareholders decreasing stake. So do you have any color around this as to whether, because they are like a 14% shareholder in the company, whether it's something?
An external shareholder.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Sachdeva from Further Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, I want to know that after commissioning of all the distillery plants, do the company have any other CapEx plans, or the company will go in consolidation phase for a few years?
You see, for now, this is what we have our sight on. And as entrepreneurs, I can't tell you that. I can't tell you in full confidence that we might stop after this. But right now, we're focused on this fully. And after that, we'll see what to do. But this is our focus for now. And I can't say that we'll consolidate or anything. I can't really comment on that as of now.
Okay. Thank you. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nidhi Ladha from NM Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My question is that on the boiler which we are putting at the Bhatinda. So what is the capex cost for this paddy straw and how much cost will be saved because of this new boiler which we are implementing?
See, capex, see, the boiler that we're installing is around, the boiler itself is around 40 crores. Whereas if we were to, you know, replace this boiler with a conventional boiler that runs on rice husk or coal, it would be around 22 to 24 crores. So it's, you know, almost double the capex. But the fuel cost, see, we have signed a contract to procure paddy straw at rupees 2.51 a kg. Whereas the current husk prices in the market are around 7.5 to 8 rupees a kg. And seed husk has also a more caloric value. So when attributing for that, the paddy straw should be around 3.2 rupees when compared to husk. So the payback period would be, you know, we expect the payback period to be 1 to 2 years.
Okay, and so you can also let me know that what is the demand for the bottling business and how much are we planning to increase in that in the coming year?
Bottling business, we have no plans to increase. The current demand is the, you know, we're participating in the quota system of the Punjab government and we don't expect or plan to, you know, expand this.
Okay, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sushil Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just have one question regarding the incentives at both these locations available under the ethanol blending policy. What kind of incentives do we get?
See, this both the projects fall under, mainly Bhatinda falls under the interest subvention scheme. So the applicable interest rate will be 4%. Besides that, the Bhatinda boiler, the capex SGST part, the state GST portion will be refunded. And there are no other incentives at both these plants.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Dinesh Kotwari, from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a question regarding the industry. I want to compare the mustard seed with farmer. The farmer is, you know, with backward integration takes almost 10 years to, you know, do the backward integration. So I just wanted to understand for the mustard seed, what is the backward integration? Is there any plan for backward integration and how much time it will take for us?
Backward integration as in contract farming?
Yes, in terms of contract or in terms of our plans.
No, we don't have plans to backward integrate in this sector.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Sachdeva from Further Investment. Please go ahead.
Also, do you have any estimate of interest figures for FY23, finance cost basically?
Finance cost for FY23, to be honest, I don't. I'll have to speak to my CFO and get back to you for that. The exact number.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yes, I would just like to conclude by thanking everyone again thanks to everyone who attended. Our company, who takes interest in our company, who's invested in our company. And I would just like to say that the company is going on a very good track, and just hoping that you are all there to join us for a ride as we continue to grow. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Quantum Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.